From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad to be with you this week for the 45th episode of our podcast and the last one of 2015, our first season, as we're calling it, as we're going through the school year, and we'll take next summer off, but we're going to take the next a couple of weeks off around Christmas and New Year's and let you have a chance to be with your family instead of, well, instead of listening to me every week. I hope that you will take advantage of that time and make some memories with your family and enjoy that time together. As we're closing out 2015 on the podcast, I am pleased to be joined by a friend and also a coworker. We live about a mile apart and work about 27 feet apart, but I'm pleased to be joined by Tyler Hallman. Tyler, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on today.
Tyler is the youth minister where I preach at 9th Avenue in Haleyville, and some of you may follow me on Periscope, and on Wednesdays, Tyler and I do 9 Minutes with 9th Avenue, so we're used to having Tyler a phone in front of us recording our faces. This is different, just talking to something and watching waves go up and down on a screen.
It is a little bit different. It was kind of odd to get used to seeing yourself at first, and now I don't really know what I'm seeing, but it is a little bit different.
It's weird seeing your voice pattern.
It is.
Well, Tyler and I are enjoying working together. He began at 9th Avenue about the same time I began. Both been here a little over a year. But other than the fact that you have to put up with me every day, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself to know who they're listening to this week.
Okay. As Adam said, I started here last year about this time. Prior to this, I've called 9th Avenue my home congregation most of my life. I grew up here, and I tell people this now, and it's kind of an interesting story, but it's also kind of unique, but very neat. Adam was my youth minister as I was growing up and going through the youth group, and so we had known each other prior to this, and so kind of get to redevelop a friendship. And prior to taking the job as the youth minister, I worked in banking for about 2.5 years, and I would train new employees. And I've worked in training for about 6 years prior to taking this job as a youth minister, and been here for, like I said, for about a year now. So.
And you're married.
I am. I'm married.
Don't forget the family.
Don't forget the family.
That's right.
I am married to a wonderful, wonderful wife who puts up with the extras of youth ministry. We have a 18-month-old son, Parker, and we have a daughter on the way. She'll be here February 5th, around that time.
Ish,
right? And expanding the family, and have, like I said, a wonderful wife who puts up with all the extra stuff that we have to do as youth ministers, but a wonderful person that helps me, keeps me going in the right direction. I'm very appreciative of all that she does for me.
Well, now, if we let Tyler keep talking about his family, we wouldn't get to our subject today, but you do have a good family. And I appreciate Tyler's work, and we enjoy working together. It's one thing that we've talked about many times. The two of us, our secretary, have talked many times about how we just get along in the office. It's, you know, some days are stressful because it's ministry, but it's always fun. There's always things going on, and we joke around, and we're enjoying working with you. And this past Sunday, as we are recording this, you had a meeting with our parents, other interested adults, and I thought I wanted to sort of recap that meeting since it was a recap meeting, because one of the things that you tried to do in that meeting, and I don't want to steal your thunder here, but I'm setting this up, is we're calling this episode Seeing the Big Picture in Youth Ministry. Because something you and I have talked about for a long time in youth ministry, as well as just in church world, the life of a church, is not just doing stuff, but why are we doing stuff? And this being the end of the year, I know a lot of preachers, youth ministers, deacons listen to the program and making plans for 2016. And I thought you handled that meeting really, really well. And I thought, hey, this was not what I had scheduled to do this week on the podcast, but I thought this is going to be a whole lot better than what I had planned for sure. Because you did not want to have a meeting and hang a giant calendar up on the wall and say, let's fill this puppy up. You had more of a, let's just call it a philosophical meeting, and I'll let you kind of go from there and explain why you had that, and then we'll dig down into some of the specifics in a few moments.
Okay. The main reason that we went with that style or that approach, being here for about a year, I had learned several things about the dynamics of our group and a little bit about how our group works and parents and that sort of thing. And so I wanted to just take some time and like you said, not necessarily worry about events and filling the calendar up. That takes care of itself pretty quick. But I wanted us to ask ourselves, what do we want the youth group to accomplish? What's our purpose? Why are we here? Why do we even have a youth group? And I mentioned this yesterday in the meeting, but it's a thought that sticks in my head. What do we do to make ourselves a youth group and not just some other collection of people that sometimes do good for people? And so we wanted to, like you said, look at the big picture, step back, ask ourselves, what do we want to accomplish? And once we determined, or still in the process of determining what we want to accomplish, then the events can fall under those categories to help us accomplish those things. And so it's kind of looking at the finish line. What do we want the finished product to look like? And then back up and say, okay, how do we get there? Rather than taking events and saying, well, what do we really want that event to do once the event's over? And I think knowing what we want the outcome to be, we can really get what we should out of the events because we know going into them what we expect that event to do. And we can be looking for that as we move through the event.
One specific thing I'll mention here and let you talk about for a moment is you kind of reassure the parents that this meeting is also not to cancel a bunch of stuff or say we're never going to do this event or go on that trip again, but it's just looking at them through the lens of why do we do those things?
Exactly. And that's one of the things that I learned coming into youth ministry. I had several people give me advice of which I was so appreciative. And some of the advice that I kept getting over and over was don't enter the job and start to cancel a bunch of stuff or it's going to turn people off. And, I understand in every ministry, there's times to change, there's times to stop events, there's times to add events. And that's one thing that I wanted the parents to know is that we're not here to throw away everything that we've done in the past. A lot of what we do and have done in the past is very successful. It's just taking the things that we're already doing and aiming them towards the final goal that we want to achieve and making sure that everything lines up and that we're not just doing events because we've always done them, but to make sure that those events that we have always done that are very successful, that now we can see a end of where we want them to take us.
All right, so let's kind of take this piece by piece as time will allow us to. And I want you to talk for a moment, Tyler, about sort of inspiration may not be the best word, but kind of where this seed was started of, you know, not just to have the meeting, but just this idea of purpose behind things, something, the word, I'm going to steal one of your words here, something to rally around. We'll talk about that in a little while specifically. But I know before we recorded, you mentioned a couple of resources you're going to mention, but also just kind of why this is important to you and why you wanted to make such a big deal out of it to have a meeting instead of just, oh, January 1st, 2016, by the way, here's what we're doing.
Right. One of the, a book recommendation that I had when I took this job was the book Sustainable Youth Ministry by Mark DeVries. I hope I'm saying that name mm-hmm. correctly. But I picked that book up and it sat on my shelf for just a few weeks and I got to it and opened it up and just quickly became engrossed in the book. And there's so many ideas. But one of the takeaways from that book is he reminds us all that even after we're gone, even if you're in a position for 60 years, and there's going to be a point where your ministry is passed on to someone else. And when we can plan for that and when we realize that it's not my ministry to begin with. It was started by Christ a long time ago. And so I'm just here to play a small role in the big picture. And when we can have plans that go along and plans that purposefully exceed us, then hopefully our ministry can be successful. And then whoever sits in that office, whenever my time is up, there'll be a plan in place and something to hand off, and hopefully it's something that's worth handing off. And so that's where that idea came from of, you know, don't plan a 3-year plan in youth ministry. Think of youth ministry as beyond yourself and what's going to be there when you turn it over to someone else.
It reminds me of you and I've had this conversation as well as some others here and elsewhere, of even for an overall congregation, kind of having the idea of a mission or a vision. And some people are kind of on the fence of mission, vision statements or whatever, but just being able to say, you know, if the Lord tarries and the Ninth Avenue Church of Christ, for example, still exists in 2050, what do we want it to look like? And you're just taking that same idea and bringing it to that specific ministry or area of the congregation, the youth ministry of, you know, one of these days, these teenagers are going to be 55 years old, you know, and you're either going to be really, really old or not living anymore, right. one or the other. But somebody, Lord willing, is going to be here either as a youth minister or a youth deacon or one of the youth ministers, the congregation grows or whatever. And are these visions and systems in place where we're still accomplishing the most important things? That's really what we're talking about here.
It is. And one of the things that I always like to think about and remind myself is, you know, as we develop relationships with these young people, it's as a youth minister, one of the things that I've learned in this first year is it's easy to see why parents want to hold on to their children for so long, because you develop a relationship with these young people and you see them grow as young people, and you want them to stay part of the youth group and just continue to grow, but that's not how life works. And they're going to advance and they're going to become successful in their own lives, and somebody's going to take their place, and there'll be new relationships developed. And exactly like you said, it's a process that continues and starts over constantly.
All right, so you kind of had the inspiration behind this, and I know from working with you every day, and we have conversations about anything and everything in the office pretty much every single day, and that's always wonderful, that you know this really was a passion within you to at least start the ball rolling in this way. And I guess the most natural way to do that would be to just say, we're going to have a meeting, but we're going to take a little tangent here for a second. Okay. You mentioned something in the meeting yesterday that I thought was brilliant. I'm just going to give this as a takeaway for whether you're a minister or not, if you're in charge of any kind of, you know, group, this is important. You said, if it's not named, it doesn't keep happening. And so you had this meeting yesterday, but you didn't say it wasn't called a parents meeting. It was big fancy title name. Why?
Well, it's part of that comes from my undergraduate degree is in marketing, and we see it in the business world. We see it with products. You know, if we just put a product on the shelf and called them shoes, you know, you wouldn't really feel connected to a certain pair of shoes. But, you know, we see companies that are so successful because they have a name. And events are the same way when we take that same approach. You can become tied into an event and you begin to look forward to that event. And when we just have meeting, that just kind of has that overtone of negativity to begin with. So many people are turned off by meetings. And so when you give it a title and it's actually an event, even though it's a planning meeting, is exactly what it was. But we called it Recap and Recharge, and just to give it a fun name, but something to buy into, to look forward to. And to me, when something has a name, you can be a part of it. When it's just an event on a calendar, you can go to it and you can attend it, but you may not really feel like a part of it. But when something actually has a name, you can feel a part of that.
So I thought that was just, you know, kind of a little mini takeaway from yesterday, but it does play into this bigger picture too, because you want to do this each year, roughly each year. And by giving it a name, as you said, people have something to look forward to, that, hey, when is this recharge thing going to happen again? And so as we go through that, now you had the passion, the background, you came up with this name for the meeting. Walk us through, not the whole meeting, because it lasted an hour and a half, and this is only supposed to be about a 25 or 30-minute podcast, but all you really did, and I thought it was great, frankly. I was there as a parent, but also as one of the ministers. You had a couple of PowerPoint slides that kind of laid out, here's the massive big picture, and then you basically said, all right, the floor is open. You didn't try to run the whole meeting and have a, you know, second by second agenda, but there was a flow to it.
There was, and one of the things that I've also learned in the first year of youth ministry is that parents make youth ministry successful. And I know that every youth minister who happens to listen to this or minister understands exactly what I mean by that. And I'm not saying that we as youth ministers throw everything back to the parents, but when there's buy-in at home, when there's buy-in to the events by the parents, things can be successful and things will be successful. And so, like you said, I didn't want us to have just a blank slate and go all over the place. And so there was a little bit of pre-planning as far as topics that I wanted us to stay on, but I wanted it to also be just a parents to feel free to voice ideas, to voice opinions. Because, you know, as much time as I get to spend with these young people, and I enjoy every minute that I get to spend with them.
Now, wait a minute. Every minute?
Most every minute.
Okay.
Most every minute. There's some,
I love our young people too, but every minute now.
There's some lock-ins that maybe about 2 o'clock in the morning, you're ready for those moments to end. You know, parents live with these young people, and they really know how they work. And so, you know, when parents come up with an idea, they're more likely to buy into it. And so what we did was we basically just had topics that we wanted to stay on. And that kept us reined in, kept me reined in on the direction that we were going. But it also gave us freedom to throw around ideas and bounce ideas off of each other that did come from the parents.
So let me kind of cut you off there. You mentioned these topics, and these became kind of the flow to this particular meeting. And what you laid out there at the beginning was, look, this is not set in stone. This is not, I've come up with this, now fill in the blanks. But you wanted to give a scaffolding for where everything was going. For example, let's just kind of role play one of these things. One of the categories you set out there was remain faithful. And you explained in that what you wanted part of the youth group to be, or part of the overall program of the church to be, was when our young people, we live in Haleyville, Alabama, there's no college here. You know, there's one, the closest one, I guess, is Northwest, which is what, 30 minutes away,
yeah.
Or, you know, North Alabama, an hour away, the University of Alabama, 70, 80 minutes away. But there's no college here, but these are still our kids. You know, when they go away to these schools, or if they go further away, Mississippi State, Auburn, UAB, whatever, how can we transition them, help them transition from small town Haleyville, 9th Avenue, to now they're living in Birmingham, going to UAB, where do they go to church? And so you mentioned that that's the big picture. Now, parents, you give ideas. And that's kind of the way you had this flow with each of those individual areas or topics.
It was. And like you said, it was using that as the example. That was, we initially, first thing that we did was develop our goal. And that was, how do we help give our young people the best chance to be successful? And we know that no plan is going to be foolproof, but we want to give our young people the best chance. We want to give them every opportunity to remain faithful. And so that was our goal, is make 100% sure that our young people have what they need to be successful. And so that's the goal. That's the finished product. And so then we backed up and I asked parents, you know, what can we do to make this happen? And we had several ideas from that. And some of the ideas came from parents who have children currently in college. And so they've seen some of the things that their young people go through and what they wish that their children would have had to keep, or what they have had to keep them successful or keep them faithful. And so, you know, ideas came from that, or ideas also came from some parents that one of the ideas, a parent that has a junior in high school. And so I know that those parents are thinking, you know, it's just right around the corner when their child's in this situation. And so what do they want to see in place for their child to have the opportunity to remain faithful?
So I just wanted to kind of role play one of those, because that was kind of the way the meeting went. Was, you mentioned, I believe it was 6 areas that you wanted to discuss, and then you just literally put the word on top of the screen, the PowerPoint slide, and we just talked about each one of them for, you know, one of them maybe 5 minutes, one of them maybe 20, but people just throwing out ideas, some of them very philosophical, very 50,000-foot view, some of them exceptionally practical, just down to earth. Here's one thing I've seen done in another congregation, or here's something that has been done here before, or here's something that has encouraged my student at college, or my seventh grader, or whatever area we were talking about. But you mentioned several times that these are 6 areas you want to emphasize, but you did not want to say, here's one area, here's 11 things I've come up with to fulfill that area. Now go do it. That's what I think people need to get through this podcast. Let's look at the overall big picture. But I have not sat in my office for 40 hours a week for 8 weeks fleshing out every last detail of this thing. I fleshed out the big picture, the scaffolding. You put some walls and doors and paint on it.
Right, and I think that exactly what you just said is ministry summed up. It's our job as ministers to lay out a map, and we show people the beginning destination and the ending destination. And we guide them as they develop the route to get to the ending destination. And so that's how I have seen my job as youth minister, is exactly what you just said. This is the house that we want to build. Here's an outline. Here's what we want the end product to look like. And now let's come together and develop ways to make this happen. And I think that's... I was very pleased with how yesterday went, but just that concept in general, I think that's really helped me out in ministry, is throwing what we want out there and letting other people take you there. And podcasts like this and other podcasts and books, it's so helpful when people are willing to share ideas, whether it be in a setting like we had yesterday or other situations. If something's successful, it's awesome when it can be shared with other people, because if it worked for somebody, it's got a good chance that it's going to work for us as well.
Let me ask you two related questions here. Just practically speaking, you're not claiming to be the expert on this, but you know, there are guys who listen to this who get the idea. They kind of get the idea of casting a vision, having a big picture, and, well, I would love to have a meeting like this, or at least meet with the elders and put something forward. Let me ask two related questions. Number one, give some encouragement to the minister who has this big picture idea. The elders say, yeah, go ahead with the meeting. And either one, nobody shows up, or two, nobody says anything. How would you encourage them?
Well, that's actually, we have wonderful parents here. Let me start out by saying that. But I even mentioned this to you. I've kind of had that thought in the back of my head of what am I going to do if nobody shows up, if nobody wants to go down this road. And my plan B was, if nobody wants to participate in this, looking at the big picture type thing, then my next step is going to be to start myself and take my big picture and begin to put it in action. And it may take that showing parents how this type thinking can be successful. And it may take parents seeing a youth minister who looks at the big picture and who kind of backward plans for events. And once they see success, there's going to be buy-in. I truly believe that. And it may take time. One of the things that you and I have talked about is a benefit that I truly believe that I have being here at Ninth Avenue is, like I said earlier in the podcast, is I've called Ninth Avenue home most of my life. And so relationships have already been developed between myself and parents and young people. And so we could come at things from maybe a little bit different angle. And that relationship was already there, and there was a trust there in trying something from a little bit different approach. And so my encouragement to other people would be, if you do have this 30,000 foot view, look at things and want to try it and you're fired up about it and you do plan a meeting and nobody shows up, don't give up. I think it still can be successful. Just remember, it may take a little bit more work on the front end from you. And once success starts happening, people always gravitate towards success. And so once those first small victories happen, then you get the parental buy-in, and then it can really explode and go places that none of us have ever visioned, I think.
All right. So the other question is the other extreme of that. Someone plans a meeting, they get the vision, they get the excitement, they plan a meeting, and a lot of people show up, and that's great. But so many ideas come at them that they know if they don't really work on all of them, people are going to be disappointed. You know, or it's just overwhelming. It's a good problem to have, But it is a problem to have. How do you encourage that person?
It is. And I think the encouragement there is realizing that you obviously have a lot of parents that are willing and excited about trying different things. And so it is a problem. It is an issue that you'll have to overcome, but it's a good problem to have. And my encouragement there would be to start somewhere. And I know that may not make a whole lot of sense, but you know, at some point we all just have to pick a place and start there and try some of the ideas and also go into it with a mindset knowing, hey, I've got a whole arsenal over here full of extra ideas. If idea number one doesn't work, we'll trash it and we'll go to idea number two. And so, you know, realize that you have those plans in your arsenal. And like we talked about, this meeting started with the intent of a yearly event, hopefully a yearly event. And so there's going to need to be ideas next year and years to come. And so, you know, we don't have to do everything tomorrow. And, you know, don't ever dismiss an idea. It may seem like it's not going to work at the time, but put it in your arsenal, because there will be a day when that's the perfect idea. And so I think that would be an issue, is sorting through all of that. But it also shows that you have parents that are ready to go, and just start somewhere would be my advice. And I don't know how solid that is, but at some point you just got to pick a place and go and take the good and dismiss the bad.
I think you mentioned this, but I'll just reemphasize it. One of the things I would encourage people who have that quote unquote problem is to emphasize, even in the meeting, we're not going to do all these things, especially not in the next week or two or even year. We just want big ideas. We want you to see the vision. We want you to catch that big picture. But the more things, as you said, the more things we put under the idea column, the better chance we have of realizing that vision, even if we never use all of them. But that just needs to be clearly communicated, that just because you throw something out doesn't mean we're going to do it. It's going in the idea folder, and it's going to be considered. It's going to be prayed about. It may be combined with something else. It may not be done. It may be done. But as long as it's helping us push forward that vision and that big picture, that's what matters.
And I think that's exactly right. And what you just said is it may be combined. I like that you said that, because there's a chance if you're facing that problem, when you really list out all of the ideas, some of those can be grouped together. And I think when you're in that type of situation, just look at them and say, hey, we're going to take the best from A, and we're going to take the best from B, and we're going to make a even better C. And, you know, take the good from all the ideas that are similar and form a unioned idea, if that's even a word. Well,
it is now.
Okay.
We'll go to dictionary.com and get that entered real quick. Well, Tyler, I appreciate this very much. And most of the time on A Legacy of Faith, we deal with issues that deal with family. But in many ways, this does, because these are our kids, you know, or somebody's kids. And we're trying to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And youth ministers who are faithful to the Word are a great asset to that, a great help in that. And congregations that support the youth program well are a great support to what families do. And I appreciate you taking a few minutes, putting up with me for 30 more minutes than normal during the week and doing this with me this week.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I've enjoyed it. Like you said, this is something that I'm excited about. I'm really excited to see what a year from now has in store. And I think wonderful things are happening here at Ninth Avenue, and I think they're just going to continue to get better.
I do too. We're blessed to be here, and it's a good time to be in Haleyville, Alabama. A little slow, but that's all right. It's okay. Sometimes it's good to go slow.
It is sometimes.
We appreciate you joining us this week on Legacy of Faith. As I mentioned at the beginning, this is our last program of 2015. We'll take a couple of weeks off for the holidays. So just make sure, if you have not already, you subscribe in iTunes so you can pick up and we release the next program. I believe the date is January the 8th, but it may be a week after that, depending on how the holidays go and how busy things get. But just make sure you subscribe on iTunes to the program, and that way you won't miss any episodes as we roll up 2016 and begin rolling out programs then, and look forward to doing that with you. So hope you enjoy your Christmas, your New Year's, and all the other things that go on this time of year. Hope you have a good time with your family, make a lot of memories. And remember, until next time, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.